and glad to have y'all with us. And anyone else that we have as a visiting person today? Okay. All right. Good to have you. Good to see Mr. Harrison back. Good to have you back. And we're going to forego all of those announcements that we hear 15 times before the service is over. But anyway, look at your bulletin. Check it out. Today is a pretty normal Sunday. We're not having anything special going on today. So I do want to talk to you about the prayer list that I give out each morning. If you have someone on that list that you would like to take off, then I'm going to pass this clipboard around. And y'all can take them off. You can just put over there on the edge, remove from list. If you have anyone you want to add, just go ahead and put their name and what we need to pray for. And so I'll start this around, and you can do that while I'm still starting. And if this is your first time in here, Brother Philip Talbert is our teacher, and hope you get to know him well. He's a fine teacher, a fine gentleman, and we appreciate so much to have him with us. If there's anything that you have as questions, please, you can ask me after the class. I'll do whatever I can to answer your questions. So good to have you today. And as this clipboard comes around, just fill it out the way you need to. And we'll talk about our sick folks today. We have many that are facing procedures. I know Brother Bob Bishop is going to have an ablation on his heart this coming Friday at the VA. So let's keep him in prayer. And then Carl is supposed to have maybe some more tests done on his heart. He's got an aneurysm that seems to be growing. So y'all pray for Carl and pray that the Lord will be in that. Also, we have a lot of folks that are, they have illness that is long-lasting. They're out. We always pray for Joe Shaw's wife, Pat. We always pray for Randy and Pat Scalf. And we're praying for Ron and Wanda Huskins. And these are some that are faithful class members, but yet they have had to be out because of illness. The rest of us, we have gripes and groans and things that we're facing every day, and so we can complain sometimes about some things. But anyway, it's good to have you this morning, and we're going to give Brother Philip all the time that we can to teach the class. And so anyone have any special request on your heart this morning? Okay. Two unspoken. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Okay, the Simpson family down in South Carolina, Andy, passed away this week, and let's remember that family in prayer. Brother Harrison's friends. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Miss Shirley. Two unspoken. And our son, our oldest son, Chuck, has shingles. Like for y'all to pray for him. He's 51. He's got them pretty bad. So pray for him if you would. And then I was talking with Miss Lois back there. She has some family members, a sister and a niece, that is dealing with cancer. And so let's remember these, okay? So if that's all, we'll go ahead and pray and let Brother Philip get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love to us. And God, we also thank you for the blessings. And Lord, we know that, Lord, we can't move and have our being without you, Lord. And God, you supply our needs as according to your will. And Father, you have knowledge of what we need before we even ask, but you like for us to ask. So today we have offered up these requests, dear God. Pray that you'll be with them. Lord, we do pray for this family in South Carolina that has lost their loved one, Brother Andy. And God, we pray that you will be with them, comfort them, and give them grace and help, strength during this time. And Father, we would pray today for all of our people that are suffering with cancer, and God, that is going through difficult times. And Father, we pray that you would just bless them. Pray for those, dear Lord, that can't be here, they're shut in, or they're in nursing homes or other facilities. God, we would ask your blessings upon them. Lord, thank you again for all that you've done. Lord, we pray that you'll be with our pastor in the morning service. God, that you would have your will and your way in this service today. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Danny. Let me get myself together here. Can somebody tell me who Leo Dennison is? He's on our list for salvation. I've been praying for him, but if I have more context, I can pray better. Does anybody, who put this gentleman on here? Okay, I'll keep praying until I know better. You know, in the victory class, they did something that I wish possibly that we could do. I don't know how it would work. Maybe the secretaries or whoever does this list, but they would send out the prayer list in an email, and everything you guys have just said could get to us, because I didn't write it all down. As a matter of fact, I couldn't hear a lot of you, and I'm sure it'll get on the list, but next week. And I would like to pray this week, because it's very dear to your heart. And, you know, when it's close to our heart and very immediate, we want people to join in right then, amen, and feel that same burden. And so I don't know if that's possible, whoever's responsible for this, if they could do that for us, then our prayers could go up as people ask for them, and we can weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that do rejoice. Who is our first-time visitors this week? Thank you for coming. We appreciate that. Maybe I need to drop back a little bit and do just a short review. We're talking about, and you can turn there, by the way, Matthew. Let me get myself together here. Chapter 14 and verse 28. And we'll just read the text and do a quick review, and then I'd like to talk about Peter's prayer, and then what, we did last week. We talked about Peter's prayer last week. We'll talk about what Jesus said to him this week. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary, verse 24. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Let me get a little drink of water here real quick. So we looked at all these companion passages in the other Gospels, and we had seen why they were in the storm, because they delayed, right? Jesus urged them immediately right after the feeding of the 5,000. He said straightway, he urged them to get into the ship, but we saw in some of the companion passages that they delayed. It said, and when even was come, they entered into the ship, and they could have avoided this storm if they had just not delayed. We saw also that he said, and he would have passed them by. And we saw the reason for that, you remember. He had said that they were to go unto the other side, unto Bethsaida. But we saw in John that it said, and they entered into a ship to go to Capernaum. So their obedience was not what Jesus said. They did not obey. And so we saw many important principles about obeying God, doing exactly what God says. And so last week we talked about did that catch us up there? Oh, we also saw that they could not see the Lord correctly. And we saw in the companion passages that they were backslid. Their hearts were hardened because they considered not the loaves. So somewhere in all of this, not obeying when they should, not doing exactly what they should, being in this storm all night long, their hearts had become hard. And they couldn't see the Lord correctly. And we also saw that they were not afraid until Jesus showed up. This is what made them afraid, and it was because they were backslid, and their hearts were hardened, and they couldn't see the Lord clearly in this trial. So now we come to, we saw also Peter's prayer, "If it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And the first thing that we want to know before we step out by faith, is it the Lord? Amen. We looked at Gideon and his fleece, and everybody that wants to do something for God, that wants to step out on faith, that wants to obey, he wants to know it's the Lord that is leading him to do this. Now, we come to our lesson today, and we come to the Lord's answer to him. Let me find my place. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." This is a wonderful word. Before I get into some thoughts about this, I would like to just talk about this idea of coming to the Lord. You remember in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, this is what he said to the multitudes, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." So the Lord here using this same word again, come, come unto me. And we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." The Lord in this storm says to Peter, "Come to me in the storm." To the lost sinner, he says, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and find rest." And what's very interesting, in Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of this book, which talks about all of the judgments of God, first on the church there in chapters 2 and 3, and then on the world, he ends this book by saying, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Isn't that beautiful? One last time before the end of the age, right at the end of the book, God says, come, come, come. And folks, that's all we're doing when we go witness, isn't it? Just come and drink of the water of life freely. And if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 25 and let me show it to you one more time. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. If you'd like to turn there. What a wonderful Savior we have. And how inviting He is to this world. Amen. Now here we are at this last judgment. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, what? Come. Aren't you? Oh, this is so beautiful. At that last judgment, that wonderful word comes all over again. He says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And He goes on to say, for I was hungered and I thirsted. And notice what He's going to say to the others in verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Aren't you glad when we heard Him in Matthew 11 say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, we came. Amen? Amen. Because on that last day, at this last judgment, that's the word He's going to use to bring us into the eternal blessings of the Father. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. That's so wonderful. Anyway, just devotional. I just love the word. And when we go witnessing, you know what we want? We want the Spirit to say, come, when we say come. Amen? That's our prayer. When we say, oh, Lord, save this person, what we're saying is, Spirit of God, please speak when I speak. That and draw them to yourself. We can't do it, amen? It's impossible for us. But if the Spirit is with us and He says, come, all mighty things can happen in people's hearts. And so anyway, notice this. Verse 29, and He said, come. When Peter was come down out of the water, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. Peter stepped out on one word. He stepped out on the word of God. If you remember in Hebrews chapter 1:3, it says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. That's what we see in this storm. He says, come. Notice what He didn't say. He did not say, water, become firm. Water, do whatever. He did not speak to the water at all. He did not have to speak to the water. The water would do His will. In Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6, it says, I'm so sorry. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth out the depths and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. There are no laws of nature. I know that's a strange statement. We have let the world define terms because they believe that there are laws of nature. What they've done is personify nature as if it can create laws, correct? But there are no laws of, by the way, there is no nature. There is no natural order of things. Everything is done by the decree of God. He spoke and it happened, as we saw in Psalm chapter 33, I think it was. He spoke and it stood fast. Everything you see around us is not the natural law of this world. There are no such thing as natural laws. That's to say that nature made these laws, right? And this is one of the reasons why the world is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because their foundational belief is that there is a nature and that this nature has laws. What they need to understand and what would guide all of their thinking is that everything is here by the decree of God. He spoke it into existence and they're His laws, they're His decrees. And let us say this, God is not bound by His laws. He can change them anytime He wants. He is above them, He controls them if He wants to. By the way, He has already. Let's look at it. Go with me, if you would, to, let me find to, oh gosh, I hope, if I can find it here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5. God can change things anytime He wants, and He has changed them before, as we're seeing here in this storm. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women... did I get the right one? Daggone it. No, I didn't. Maybe it's 2 Peter. Sometimes my typing's no good. Maybe 2 Peter chapter 3. It talks about the heavens. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But notice this, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, we see here that there was a heaven before the flood, a heaven and an earth. It was entirely different than this earth and this heavens that we're in now. God changed it all. He brought a great destruction. And it talks about now the heavens and the earth that are now. Everything you see now is not what Adam and Eve saw. They had another heaven and another earth. I can't even imagine what that earth was like. And this one is fantastic, amen, just glorious, but it's under, we're living in this one after an incredible flood that destroyed it and remade it. But we also see that God's going to do it again. My point here is God can change the laws of this universe anytime he wants without any problem. And he has already. We're living in a change, and he's going to change it again. The heavens are going to burn up with fire, and then he's going to make a new heavens and new earth. Can you even imagine? So God is not bound by his laws, is what I'm saying. He wasn't bound by those laws here with Peter. Now, the water is no problem, right? Everything stands by the word of God, and he's in charge of it all. Now, sometimes God works by secondary means, correct? When Moses stood at the Red Sea and Pharaoh was coming with his armies and they were all distressed and it didn't look like there was any way out, God says to Moses, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And what happened? An east wind blew all that night, and the seas parted, and they went over in dry ground. Secondary causes. God used this mighty wind to separate this. Hezekiah had a boil, and I think it was Elisha made a lump of figs and put it on the boil, right? God could have healed him without the figs, right? But he used secondary means. Elisha, with the dead child, he laid upon the child. He put his eyes on his eyes, his mouth on his mouth. And through this process, God brought life back into this dead child. And so we're seeing that God uses secondary processes. Naaman, the leper, he says, go and wash 7 times in Jordan. Could God have healed him without the washing of the waters of Jordan? Of course he could. But God chooses to use secondary means at some times to bring healing to the waters of Siloam. What did God use? An angel came down and stirred the waters, and the first one in was healed. So we see secondary means, but God does not need those. Amen. In Joshua chapter number 10, in the fight with the Amorites, it says, then spake Joshua to the Lord, in the day when the Lord, delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, and the people until the people had avenged themselves. No secondary means here, right? And we know what this means. He stopped the earth dead still. Now, the world says, that's impossible. Think of all the kinetic energy and its momentum and the mass of the world. How could he exert? Nobody could exert such force and stop it dead without incredible. Folks, it's spinning because God said it should spin. If he wants it to stop spinning, all he's got to do is say, be still, correct? That's what he's going to do when he gets into the boat. And with the disciples here in a minute, he'll say, peace, be still. And this world obeys the command of God. This world is revolving because God set it in motion. As a matter of fact, scientists can't figure out why this ball is spinning in the first place. If it's an accretion of all this dust, what set it to spinning billions of years ago? God set it to spinning, and if he wants it to stop, it'll stop. And that's what we're seeing here in this text. God did not speak to the water. When he told his servant to come, the whole creation obeyed his will to make that happen. Now, folks, this is very important. We've got to believe God has got this kind of power. Amen. And this is what the centurion understood when he came. His servant was sick. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, my servant is sick. Come and heal him. But as Jesus was coming, he turned around and said, you know what? I don't need you to come.
I'm a man under authority, and if I say go, that servant goes. If I say come, he comes. And he said, just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus turned around to his disciples, and he marveled. He said, I have not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. Why? Because this man believed what we're talking about this morning. If Jesus Christ is who he says he is, all he has to do is speak, and it'll happen. You know, the world has all of their mythology, Greek mythology, and you've probably seen that one where Atlas has the world on his mighty shoulders, and he's straining to hold up the world, and it takes great effort. It doesn't take great effort for God to keep all of this. All he had to do was speak, and it obeyed. He spoke it all in. It doesn't take him all this, he's not up in heaven, you know, exerting all the. Everything obeys his will. He spoke and it was set. Now, folks, if we're going to step out by faith, we've got to step out on the word of God. Amen. It is as firm as the ground I'm stepping on, more firm. And God help us to believe his word, that it is that sure. Now notice, verse 29 again. And he said, come. Don't you love that? What a word, what power, what a change in everything to accomplish his will. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now we need to look at this word in another way. We've seen how blessed it is and God wanting people to come and us to come. We've seen how sure it is, but we also need to realize this isn't a suggestion. This is a command. As long as Peter was obeying this command, he was safe. Correct? Right, because Jesus didn't say, walk around. He didn't say, enjoy the sights. He didn't say, marvel in all that I'm doing. He said, come. And Peter started off this way. He said, and when he descended from the ship to go to Jesus, as long as he was obeying, he was safe. Now, when I was a father, our son has died, I would tell him, David, come here. And what would he do? I'm over there. Of course he wouldn't. And he wouldn't walk around. He would turn and he would what? Look at me. And he would walk to me. This is what Peter did. He got down off that boat and he was coming to Jesus and his eyes were focused on him. And as long as he was focused on the Lord and walking towards him, he was safe. Amen? Because he was obeying this command. Now, this is very important in our Christian life because, if I can find it here, in Romans, oh gosh, I'm still learning how to use my technology here. Well, I'm just going to have to quote it the best I can. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the obedience of faith. He said he has given us apostleship for the obedience of faith. To the faith. And he ends the book in Romans chapter 15. I can't find it. My apologies. Also, by talking about the obedience. Here we go. Romans 1:5. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for what? For obedience to the faith. Those two go together all the time. If you are walking by faith, you are doing the will of God. Amen. And if you are disobeying, you are not walking by faith. These two go together. I'm not going to get into that this time. So he came down out of the boat to go to Jesus, and as long as he was coming, he was safe. Every step, now think about this, every step in the storm, there is danger of sinking. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus Christ in every difficulty, folks, we'll start to sink. My wife and I are going through a great difficulty right now. You can pray for us. I didn't get us on the prayer list. Somebody at my former insurance years ago told Medicare that we had other insurance. And they said we were primary. That never happened. I never had them. And Medicare now has gone back years and retracted all of those payments. And now all of those providers, 32 of them, thousands of dollars are being billed to us. And they're sending us now, and my wife has spent hours on the phone with India. That's where all this customer service is. And we have tried everything we could to get this resolved. And now we're going to collections. And now we've got to start paying all this. And so we pray, amen? We pray hard, because it could ruin our finances, thousands of dollars. And by the way, what they're billing us isn't what our insurance contracted. They're billing us the full amount, because they're billing us a non-insurance bill. It's incredible. But here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. It seems impossible to us. And when we look, and when Patty struggles with these billers over there in India, would you do something? We never had this insurance. This was a mistake. And it just goes on and on. And we can look at that, and we start to sink. Right? We start to doubt God's ability to take care of this problem. And it's a huge problem for us. But if we keep the Lord always before our eyes. By the way, that's what Jesus did. If you look in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 8, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly life. And it said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If Jesus Christ lived his earthly life like that, don't you think we ought to as well? And what Patty and I have to do is we have to rehearse all the things that God has done for us before. Amen? Has God done miracles for us before? We've seen his mighty hand. So when we go to pray, we say, now, you remember what he did for us back then? And then we rehearse some promises from the scriptures. What we're claiming is what Moses said to the children of Israel when the Egyptians were coming with all their Pharisees and the Red Sea, and Moses said, stand still and see the hand of the Lord. We have to encourage ourselves with those things, amen? Because we see all these problems and we cannot make them go away. But our God is able. So we, like you and like Peter, must keep our eye on Jesus in the storms of our life constantly, or we'll start sinking just like Peter. Doubt will overcome us, and we will what?
we'll be like Peter when he says, "Wherefore did thou doubt? Aren't I able to hold you up?" Father, help each one of us. Give us your grace in the struggles of life, in the very storm. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to set the Lord before our face always. Help us to keep coming to you in all these storms so that we can stand in the middle of it. Bless these dear people. Maybe storms are coming their way or already here. I pray that they'll find some way to set their face, their eyes on the unseen Christ who is able to do miracles for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you.